Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
We get to speak with Governor Ned Lamont to get the latest on COVID-19 and how it's impacting all of us here in Connecticut. Governor, thanks for being with us this morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Hey, Tony.
Hello, sir.
So we want to kind of get rolling. First of all, before we get into some of the questions that we have, Governor, we did notice kind of a glimmer of hope this past weekend with cases. It looks like our hospitalizations 2 days in a row were down. And before I kind of jump up and down about this, we had a couple of people write in, which they had some, I thought, pretty good questions when it comes to those numbers. Are we seeing the numbers go down for hospitalizations because we're accounting for deaths? Is it because of the weekend and we have lower amounts of people in the hospitals, or is this actually showing that we're flattening the curve a little bit?
I think it's the latter, but I can tell you, 2 days is not a trend made. You know, as the White House reminds us, look for a 14-day trend. And based upon a 14-day trend, that would tell you that perhaps now is the time you can think about allowing some elective surgeries. If it's a 30-day trend, they say now's the time you can perhaps start thinking about schools or small business on a selective basis. That's the guidance you get from the White House. And I do think hospitalizations is an important metric because we don't test everybody, but everybody who gets sick with COVID probably severely ends up in a hospital. And that gives you an indication of what's going on in the greater populace.
Governor Lamont, I know you're not a doctor, but this shocked me over the weekend. Broadway star Nick Cordero had his leg amputated after complications to COVID-19. Are you learning from our state health experts that this is a new problem with the virus? I didn't read anywhere that he had any underlying conditions. Why would amputation be a result of the virus?
Tony, I got to confess, that is above my pay grade. I
okay.
can't tell you if that was related to COVID or not.
Okay. All right. No problem. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah. No, that was a kind of a shocking thing. We do have a doctor coming on later this week that we figured we'd ask, but we didn't know if maybe Dr. Carter had any kind of insight on it. So we thought we'd ask you and see. What is the latest on unemployment claims? We just had Senator Tony Wong on. He sent a pretty lengthy letter to the commissioner, which, you know, had a lot of great points. He's certainly speaking for a lot of his constituents. But we know that new upgraded system was put into place. The backlog is expected to be taken care of by the end of this week. What's the latest on the unemployment claims?
I think you're exactly right. We had 20 times the claims we had during the last recession. It was, we could have handled two or three times the amount, but not 20 times. So it took us a little bit to catch up, included a fix around on the old COBOLT system. But thanks to our friends at the Department of Labor, we pretty much caught up there, well ahead of most of our peers, by the way, with one glaring exception, and that is for the freelancers, the independent contractors. That's a brand new program. That's going to take us, I think, another couple of weeks for the feds and then the states to be able to figure out.
Okay, we're talking to Governor Ned Lamont here this morning. We speak to him twice a week, Mondays and Fridays as well, giving us some insight with the COVID-19 pandemic. 1 month from today is when the state is set to start slowly reopening. Any updates on this or any way that we can track to slowly open up on May 20th? Can you tell us anything about that?
Between now and May 20th, we're going to have a lot more testing, including the drive-through testing we launched in New Haven on Friday. That gives you much more of an idea of what the general population has seen in terms of infections. I'm going to get some numbers on that today. By the same token, I'm highly confident we're going to have a lot more masks, protective masks. And those two things will give us the information we need to figure out how and when we can start reopening things, starting probably with more of our retail business.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Abbott ID testing because I actually have kind of a two-part question for you, Governor. First of all, with that new testing in New Haven, I'm sure that the location, we're going to see a ramp up of people wanting to get tested, especially because you don't need a doctor's order to do it. Are there any other plans to open another location? And then my second question is, do you know if the Red Cross is being helped out at all by the state to set up more donation events? Because as we know, the plasma, if you have any antibodies in your system and you've had COVID-19, that could be life-saving to people who are in the hospital struggling with this virus.
That's very true. We've got Trinity Health, and most of our major health guys are now doing the plasma testing, the plasma work. And what that means is an antibody and helps people who are found to be infected and recover faster. We've really been on the front lines there. The Abbott drive-through testing, sponsored by CVS, is a big deal. We were one of the first states to get that. I called up Larry Merlot, the head of CVS, just about 12 days ago, and he got it up and operating in 10 days. A big shout-out to our state police and our guard, all of whom turned that around in short order. And we're getting a lot of requests from other mayors, starting in Hartford, and I told Merlot and I asked CVS in the strongest terms, that's the next place you should have your drive-through test.
All right, we continue with our conversation with Governor Ned Lamont, who has been gracious to be with us twice weekly here as we continue with the pandemic. Governor, you know, I watch you every afternoon on TV. I watch Governor Murphy. I watch Governor Cuomo. I have a fond respect for all three of you. You guys have handled this in an amazing way. Mm-hmm. But then this morning, I'm here and I'm rolling through some things that we're going to talk about on the show. And you see a guy like Dr. Phil, who a lot of people, they take him at his word. He's urging state lawmakers to open the country. He more or less thinks that it's ridiculous that it's gotten to this point. And Dr. Phil is saying people die in car crashes and swimming pools. We don't close the state over things like that. But car crashes aren't contagious. Well, what would you say to him right now if he was here?
I'd say two things. Just what you said, car crashes are not contagious. It's a total misrepresentation. And as Dr. Koh, our Yale infectious disease person, mentioned at our conference the other day, I thought it was so telling. What do you tell those people outside, say, liberate Connecticut, open up Connecticut?
Yeah.
He says, why don't you come walk through our ICU sometime? And you'll see what premature opening would mean to a lot of folks who are otherwise healthy.
Yeah, I think it's incredible, Governor, because when we watch even just seeing other states and how they're responding, I have to say, I don't know if this is a reflection and if you wanted to respond to this. It doesn't really seem like Connecticut is in an uproar per se. Maybe we're not seeing it, but it seems like Connecticut is kind of getting the message better than other parts of the country. That's got to be at least a little bit relief for you that at least it seems like you don't have to deal with a lot of the backlash that I think some of these other states, I feel horrible for the governors because they've got people who are like ranting and raving in the streets.
Well, Melissa, I think you're right. I think the broad swath of Connecticut understands what we're doing. We're doing it in a thoughtful way. They understand nobody wants to get the state open more than I do. And we are going to start doing that, but in a thoughtful way. That said, there are going to be hundreds of protesters all over the Capitol this afternoon. So people are getting a lot of spring fever right now. And every week I can maintain stay home, stay safe is a week that will save, I think, many, many, many lives.
Yeah. And we wanted to check in with you if you have a little bit of time. What is the latest on nursing homes? So we know that there was supposed to be a place set up in Bridgeport, a COVID-19 recovery facility. Any idea, first of all, when that's going to be set up? And also, are we still struggling to move residents to prospective places? Because we know that was kind of a struggle for the state.
We have one or two that are open now, taking nursing home folks that maybe spent some time in the ICU, now back to a COVID-only nursing facility that was previously empty, and so they can recover there without having to go back to their nursing home. We started, I believe, this week, doing full-scale inspections of every nursing home, something we do on an annual basis. We're going to do them now again because we tried. These are mainly private businesses. We're trying to communicate on a daily basis with them. Most of them get it right. Some of them, not so much. So we're going to be out there inspecting and making sure we see what they have in terms of protective gear, see what they're doing in terms of sanitizing and cleansing everything, and being very strict about making sure we get the reporting on time.
One last question here. Governor, Max wrote in asking about the CARES Act money. When will people start seeing the $600 help?
I believe April 24th is the date I heard on that, Tony. So that's for the CARES Act money. The unemployment comp, I think, is the same date. So that's going to start coming out very soon. You know, and I heard your report, obviously, the PPE, the Paycheck Protection, they burnt through that very quickly as of about a week ago. I believe that Murphy and Blumenthal, our senator, said they're going to be voting on an expansion of PPP so more people will be able to get it. We had thousands of small companies, $4 billion come back to those businesses. Not everybody got what they needed, though, and we're going to try and do a little better.
And one last question, Governor. Sorry, this actually just popped up before we let you go. My husband actually had this question over the weekend. I thought, well, I'll ask the governor. In regards to haircuts, nail salons, things like that, we know that they will slowly open, you know, May 20th, give or take, if things still go the way that they're going. Any response to people who are doing like haircuts in garages or they're going to people's homes as long as they're practicing social distancing, they have the masks on? You know, would you encourage or are you okay with people doing their practices inside people's homes, or do you still advise a no against that?
Well, I'm cautious, Melissa, but I think you nailed it. Once I can get masks for everybody, so then I know that your barber is protected. If I can get a mask perhaps for you as needed, or even better, we get testing, then we can start opening these places up. In the meantime, there's a little risk. Let's say the average barber sees 15 people a day, and if that barber happens to be infected, you've got what they call a super spreader. So we're going to get roll that out based upon testing and masks. In the meantime, if you have a really trusted friend that they're pretty good with the scissors, I guess you can try that. Your husband getting a little shaggy?
He doesn't look that great. No, his hair, he's like starting to get the mullet look, and I'm not allowed to cut his hair because I botched it in college. So I've been banned to do that. So unfortunately, yes, he's missing his barber terribly.
Tell your husband, here's an executive order. You may cut his hair.
There you go. All right, good morning. We're at 7:38. We are joined this morning by State Senator Tony Wong. Mr. Wong, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Tony. Thank you for the musical update. I went back, and I'm looking forward to listening to that program.
Oh, yeah. It was a great program on Saturday night, so make sure you check it out. Jimmy Fallon, who else?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Stephen Colbert. Jimmy, they were all there. Taylor Swift, Elton John. If you're a big fan of music, you're going to love it.
Well, it just reinforces again that music can soothe the soul, and in these challenging times, it's a good respite.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, sir. Senator, you sent Commissioner Westby a letter over the weekend regarding unemployment claims. Now, we know the 40-year-old system has been in place, has been upgraded, and they are working on working on the backlog of claims made. What are you calling for right now?
Well, I think first we're trying to give so many of the people that have been affected by this pandemic economically in the loss of jobs and the ability to be able to eke out their existence and paying all the debts that they have accumulated. So we are saying that we're giving a voice to people that are so frustrated right now by the struggles to getting the unemployment claim, the application process. The best of intentions have not been met with results. So as a result, we asked the governor and the commissioner of labor to say, hey, you've admitted last week that you had a outdated computer system, and that has resulted in a significant backlog, and we're waiting to see results of that come into fruition. But I also counted out in the letter to say that the process, the customer relationship, the dynamics of understanding the emotional and economic turmoil of people who are trying to reach the Department of Labor, that they can't talk to anyone, that they're not getting any results, and that the complexity of the process has really undermined their confidence and their ability to get any information to plan out their lives. So we're really calling for the Department of Labor to be more responsive, to give some answers to questions that so many people have been clamoring for, and a greater level of accountability. It really is trying very hard to give a voice to the people that are very frustrated and live with the uncertainty and the fear of economic loss in addition to the health risks.
And it makes complete sense, Senator. I can completely sympathize with everything that people are going through. We know for ourselves, we have people in our family who have been on furlough. So I totally understand the complaints and what people are going through for sure. But I have a couple of questions regarding this. First of all, because this is something we've never faced before, in your opinion, to me, you know, like the 40-year-old system, to me, why wasn't this made a priority years and years and years ago? I mean, the fact that we waited four decades to wait for, I guess, something that, again, was inevitable. We didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic. But to me, why wait 40 years to update a system like this that can't take on 350,000 claims in a month? I mean, that to me, I think, was a real problem. And I guess my second point is, you know, as far as customer service is concerned, you know, I know that they've already quadrupled their amount of people that they have on staff right now to handle these claims. They're working around the clock, weekends, nights, you name it. And I just don't know, you know, when it comes to getting on the phone, I mean, people can't get on the phone with their insurance carriers, let alone can you get on the phone with the Department of Labor? I just think that's kind of a tall task at this point, no?
Well, I think the first question is the system has always been antiquated and inadequate to provide a high level of service. And I know the governor in his first speech and in his effort to upgrade our infrastructure and processes to deliver critical services is trying very hard to do this. And, you know, he's talked about being able to get online versus being in line. But the challenge is the process has never been, you know, top flight from a standpoint of service. Even before this crisis, people have always struggled to get answers and process from the Department of Labor.
Oh, okay.
And with our economic, with our government institutions. That being said, the computer system is one part. Another is a real process that has to be in place, a real sense of consumer accountability, a consumer interaction. I say this all the time. We tried very hard to get the return every call that we get in our office, and there have been many. But the fact is, you know, people don't call the Department of Labor or call our offices because they have nothing else to do. They call us because they're in dire straits, and they are frustrated, and they are very scared about what the processes hold into the future. So we have a responsibility to be accountable, to be responsive, to understand that customer service. And you talk about insurance companies, you talk about different entities. If they're as bad as we have been in governmental services, they're going to lose customers. They're going to lose people who says they want better service. We have to have that kind of aspiration in government, particularly during this crisis, to listen to people and to really address their concerns. You can't have answers for everything, and you can't make everybody happy, but you can at least make the effort to say, we're listening and we're trying our best.
Well, the other thing, too, that I wanted to, I don't know if this is more of a question than a statement, so I'd love your response to this, but I know from our household personally, as you know, my brother works for Disney and he's been home now for 5 weeks. He's been on furlough since March. I have to say, and I don't know if it's just from our own personal experience, Florida is a disaster. Florida's system literally has not allowed hundreds of thousands of people to file for unemployment. My brother has still not even heard a confirmation that they've gotten his unemployment, and he filed it 4 weeks ago. I guess what I'm saying is we at least updated our systems here. We at least are admitting, hey, you know, we got a problem here that we're trying to work out on the front lines, whereas there are states like Florida, you know, that from the beginning have been allowing, you know, spring breakers to still be out in the middle of a pandemic. And now the governor won't even address the fact that you've got hundreds of thousands of people who can't file for unemployment. I mean, would you say that at least Connecticut is a little bit ahead of the curve against other states? I think we're in a little bit of a better place than other states. Like, to me, my brother and many other people's situation in Florida is horrendous.
We live in a great state of Connecticut, and our services and our resources to help those that are impacted in the safety net are one of the best in the country. So I think that's the strength that I can offer to you, that through the collaboration of all branches and all parties, we believe it is important to be able to have all the necessary support and services for all individuals, and including the IDD population and our nonprofits. But that being said, even if the resources are there and the system is in place, if you can't deliver it, and if you can't respond and execute it because your processes are inefficient and insensitive to consumer needs, if your computer systems are antiquated, the best of plans, the best of programs, the best of services aren't getting to the people that need it. That is the flaw in this state right now, and I'm sure a lot of other states are encountering it. But for me, I'm working so hard to demand accountability, and that's why we wrote the letter, to give a voice for so many people that are so frustrated with their government's inaction right now that we're saying we're asking for some answers. We need to get answers to people so they can plan and move forward.
Tony, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes, and we will definitely talk to you next Monday.
Always a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.